Dance Network's The Bartender is a podcast where your host, Liberty Kogan, speaks with top-tier professionals and enthusiasts in the dance industry. You can hear past episodes anytime at thebartender.tv. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Isn't there a theme song?
Yeah. From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
God, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many people does he need?
How many people does he need?
Hey there, dancers. My name is Liberty Kogan, and I am on, how do you say, a quest for the most inspiring, interesting, and stimulating dance stories out there. So pull up a stool, grab a cocktail, and settle in for another episode of Dance Network's Bartender. I am so excited for today's guest, as one of my all-time favorite television shows is choreographed by her. Katherine Burns, who recently won an Emmy Award for her work on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, is currently one of the most in-demand choreographers in Hollywood. As the only female in the choreography category last year, she was also representing the only episodic comedy, and her peers undoubtedly took notice. Katherine's worked on a slew of hit television shows, including Key and Peele, Netflix's Wet Hot American Summer, Two Broke Girls, and Children's Hospital. She even worked with the multitude of dancers featured in Pharrell's music video for Happy, which won her and her team a Grammy Award for Best Music Video of the Year. So, before I binge season 2 of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is currently sitting in my Netflix queue, I want to get the behind-the-scenes scoop from the woman that makes the magic happen. So, Katherine, welcome to Bartender!
Hi, I love your sing song intro.
I had to do it. I've seen that intro so many times because, like I told you, I binge through it on Netflix, and I feel like that intro is always coming up because I get through them so quickly. So I feel like I had to do it.
Well, season 2, there's a new theme song. Hate to ruin it for you.
Oh no!
But it's fun.
Okay,
it's all dance.
Well, oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna start binging that probably this weekend. So what I'll do is I'll learn it by heart, and I'll make sure to send you a video of me doing it, which I'm sure you think would be super weird, so I'm not going to do that. But, guys, I was just telling Katherine that I feel like I already know her so well because our West Coast correspondent, Kristen Burt, has interviewed her so many times over the past year. And so last week, Katherine, I know that you attended an event hosted by the Television Academy, which was focused on a peer group, which was just recently created for choreographers. So can you tell us a little bit about that event and what exactly that means, a peer group for choreographers?
Yeah, so this is the first time ever in the history of the Television Academy that choreographers have had their own peer group.
Okay.
Before, we were underneath the directors. So that means that all the decisions regarding the awards, who's a member of the Academy, and anything regarding choreographers having their own voice didn't exist. It was the directors making those decisions on our behalf.
Interesting.
So this year, Mandy Moore and I are the governors.
Are the what? I'm sorry.
Governors.
Oh, the governors. Okay. And what does that mean? What role is that?
You know, we're going to find out.
We'll see.
We're not 100% sure. I mean, you have meetings every month. And, you know, it's representing for the choreographers and having a voice within the community of like 60 other governors that there are.
I see. Now, is this just specifically for Hollywood or is this for dance entertainment across the country?
Well, this is for the Television Academy, which is what that event was for,
right,
which is the Emmys.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
And for those of you guys that don't know who Mandy Moore is, and if you don't, you need to know immediately. She's a huge choreographer in Hollywood. She's recently choreographed La La Land, starring Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. So, Katherine, what is it like? Well, I interrupted your thought, but what is it like working with Mandy on a regular basis and learning from her, someone that's, you know, been doing so much lately?
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to dance in a few things she did. She did an Amazon Prime commercial and then this other music video, Capital City video. But she's great. You know, we haven't started our meetings yet, but, you know, she's awesome, and she's been in LA for 24 years, she said, and always has a good attitude and is fun and easy to work with and loves dance. And I think her and I share the same philosophy of, you know, be there, be responsible, be on time, be good, but also, you know, dance is joyful and we're lucky to do what we do. So why not?
Yeah.
Act accordingly.
Absolutely. And you guys both seem like very, you know, warm people in the industry, extremely down to earth and just so much fun to work with. So I'm sure you guys, you know, get great praise from the people that you work with on a regular basis.
I should hope so. You know, you can't be anything other than yourself, so why try?
Exactly. Ditto. And you talk about in your interview with Kristen how choreographers are kind of, you know, before this peer group was instilled, are kind of on their own plane, and how, you know, you talked about when you're on set, they'll tell everyone to be quiet except for the choreographer. So how will that, like your daily life as a choreographer working in television, how will that change due to this peer group?
Oh, I think it won't. I mean, there's a few issues that choreographers are up against in general.
Yeah.
One is that, I mean, we started kind of doing like, you know, meetings with other choreographers in general, kind of forming an alliance, but the issue at the moment is choreographers aren't unionized. And
right.
So that means that we don't get, for television, film, music videos, there's a really great union for Broadway in Vegas.
Right.
The SDC. But, so we don't get health and pension, and which means like all the money we're making doesn't go to retirement unless we, you know, invested ourselves. And it's just a lot. And a union helps. Every other department or position on set except for PAs are unionized. So that's like transportation, food, literally every department is unionized. So, which gives them protection and savings, and, you know, they can start a family from the money that they make. So that's our goal, to get unionized and be covered. But, that's a separate issue. But for this is more fun. This is all related to the Emmys. The Television Academy also, you know, gives back to the community and stuff. So we'll figure out how that goes. And, it will affect it as a whole as far as us having a voice.
Yeah.
But there's nothing immediate or anything. It's just us being able to decide what's best for us.
Yeah.
Well, that's when it comes to the Television Academy.
Yeah. Well, that's,
yeah.
It sounds like obviously a very good thing, and that you guys are obviously extremely passionate about what you're doing and how your voice, you know, should be heard in the entertainment community. And I mean, what do you hope what is your major goal for the peer group, and what do you foresee the future holding for choreographers in television?
I wish that that people kind of understood what choreographers do more.
Yeah.
Because especially when it comes to being on set, actually, no, it comes to everything. Like, we don't just make up steps. We cast. Like, you mentioned the Pharrell Williams video, and I cast most all those 360 people.
Wow.
You organize rehearsals, you talk to other departments like wardrobe and hair and makeup, and making sure the shoes are safe. You compose the shot with the director. I've sat in sessions with the storyboard artist. The composer will often ask your opinion on the song, and sometimes I pick the songs that we use if it's from like public domain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do a lot, and you know, of a lot of inconsistency as far as our presence on set. We're not always there. You know, there has to be a dance. Like, there's always a director. There's always makeup and hair and stuff.
Right.
So people know what to expect and the contribution that they can bring. But when a choreographer comes, it's, you know, we bring a lot of production value and a lot of knowledge over the years. You know, for me, I've been taking dance since I was 5. So it's not something that you just jump into for a few years here and there. Everyone that shows up has mostly been dancing their whole lives. So,
right.
Excited to kind of educate people in a positive way as to what we do. Honestly, people really don't even know how to pronounce it sometimes.
That is not good. That has to change. That is first priority. Absolutely. Choreography. So... Catherine, you mentioned, you know, you've been dancing since you were 5. So you're originally from Texas, which I read in your bio. So what got you started in dance?
I think I was just dancing from the second I was born, and I would put on shows for my siblings. I'm the youngest of four, and I would do like welcome home camper dances. And,
oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. And my sister's 10 years older, and so she was dancing when she was 10. Obviously for her, super into it at that time. So I emulated her and obviously watched her. I think I was just dancing always.
Yeah. Did any of your siblings take dance, or were any of them interested in it, or were you kind
of... that's what I just said. My sister was older, and she danced.
I see. Okay.
I guess I didn't say that part. I just said I imitated her, but yeah, she danced.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like they were kind of a big influence on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you always have a knack for choreography?
Yeah, most definitely. I was that bratty little kid that was like, girls, come here, do this. We're going to wear a red shirt and black bike shorts. And then you're going to wear a blue shirt and black bike shorts. And we're going to, you know, I was in every, like, school, you know, talent show or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I was always making up dances.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was the bossy friend that would tell everyone what to do and where to stand. I mean, I'm a dancer as well as and a choreographer.
Awesome.
And but I was totally the same way. I'm sure a lot of my friends hated me back in the day because I was so bossy, but someone's got to get stuff done, right?
Someone's got to be the leader.
Right. Someone's got to step up. And I guess that was always me. And it sounds like you had a little bit of that in you as well. And did you know from an early age that this is what you wanted to do professionally, be a dancer, choreographer?
So for me, I didn't quite realize you could make a living dancing or choreographing. I went to college to be a nurse.
Really?
Like, well, I'm helping people. Yeah, I got my degree in communication and film with a theater minor. And I just knew I wanted to audition for Rockette.
Really? I just want to be a Rockette.
Yeah, I mean, even that, you know, you have the other months of the year to figure out what you want to do. But for some reason, like, the idea of it as a living never really crossed my mind.
And yeah.
It was my dream job, like people would say, when I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And people would ask me what my dream job was. And I was like, well, my dream job would be to choreograph for TV and film, but I don't know how to do that.
Right. How do you get there?
Right. There's not like a course, I don't think.
No.
It's like when you study dance in college, it's mostly modern based. And, you know, you can choreograph for modern companies, or you can learn tools to choreograph, but no one really tells you how to get to the job.
Right, exactly. Or how to choreograph specifically for the camera, which I know is very different than, you know, choreographing for the stage.
Right. So for me, I'm glad I studied film because I understand what happens in the editing process too, you know? So
yeah,
I have a wide variety of knowledge for TV and film and everything.
And so did you go to nursing school after you went to college?
No, I mean, I went to college to get a degree as a nurse.
Oh, I see. And then, what prompted...
You don't have to do extra school for nursing. I think you can get it within the 4 years.
I see. Okay.
Five. Yeah.
Gotcha. So what...
specialize or something.
Yeah. So what prompted the change then from going to study nursing to, you know, making the move to LA to pursue entertainment?
Well, when I say I was studying nursing, I still was in the musicals and the dance squad.
Right, right. Which is way more
like,
fun.
For me, yeah, which I was like, I was still doing all the things. And I was like, why didn't anyone say, hey, why don't you go to New York for a summer? Or, you know, forget about, I mean, in addition to, I guess I was around a lot of scholastic types from my high school and stuff that didn't really see, like, studying the arts as something you did in college. It seems like a side thing, right?
Yeah.
And my whole family's in sales, and no one in my circle had really made a living doing off of anything artistic. So I kind of had, and it was kind of like before the internet and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Figured out. I remember moving to LA with like phone numbers of people I should call that were like family friends.
Yeah.
In the cruise ships auditions, you know, I did find out online, I guess. There were websites and stuff, but it's not like YouTube or anything. Google wasn't what it is now. But
right.
So I changed my sophomore year of college to study film. And I grew up in L.A., actually, from when I was 8 to my freshman year of high school.
Okay.
So it seems kind of strangely familiar. And I knew I wanted to work in film. My first job interviews after college and stuff were for post-production and pre-production. And I ended up working in post-production for years, thinking I wanted to be an editor. But I would still dance and have dance jobs on the side and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then eventually, like, the more responsibility I got as an editor, the more anxious I got. And I was like, I can't. I don't want to do this. I tried.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm assuming, obviously, with editing, that comes with a lot of technology training as well, learning how to use all the editing software and things like that. Was that kind of the direction that you were heading in?
Yeah, they teach you how to, like, at that, when I was doing it, it was like dubbing digibetas and patching the machine room so that the machines can basically talk to each other, right? And then you have editors and everyone that kind of just teaches you how to do it. And as an assistant, each editor, like you log dailies, and I really liked looking at the footage.
Yeah,
that came in. And those hours are just insane, though. There's, you know, you basically come and are there until the client leaves. So that could be like 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
You could get there at 8 and leave at 2. So, but I'm glad I have that experience and that knowledge.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's got to help tremendously with what you're doing now, especially with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, being able to, like you said, your film training really came in handy with your career today.
Right. And there are times that they would have me go sit in on the edit for a few numbers if they didn't have time. I specifically wanted to make sure that they were getting the good dance take, so I was able to understand editing and communicate in a proper manner versus, like, you know, it can be kind of intimidating.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Love what you're hearing? Listen to more episodes of The Bartender only on thebartender.tv and see who's coming up next week.
Hello, guys. Sean Cheeseman. You might remember me from being on So You Think You Can Dance or Over the Rainbow in Canada. I'm hanging out with Liberty next Sunday on Dance Network's Bartender.
If music is the universal language of life, then dance is the passion. But as we looked around the world, we couldn't find one place where all that passion of dance was being represented. So leaders from across the industry have now come together to form the Dance Network, to bring everything dance to the world. We're the Dance Network.
Join the movement. Sign up now for free at dancenetwork.tv.
I'm chatting with Catherine Burns this week on Dance Network's Bartender. So let's get back to it. Now, you brought up your family. Obviously, you've talked a lot about your family so far. And I've been following you closely on social media ever since last year when we really started getting involved with your career. And it seems like you're still very, very close to your family to this day, which is really awesome.
Oh, I am. I am indeed.
Oh, I mean, it's because I think, like, when you were getting ready for the Emmys, like, your parents came with you and you guys were all getting ready together. So has your family really been a great support system for you through this whole journey?
Yeah, my mom and dad were my Emmy dates, and it was so much fun to have
them
there with me.
Oh, it's so cute. I love that.
It's so cool. Yeah, my mom and I talk all the time. My dad, you know, I talk to all the time, too. You know, he's still working, so my mom is so funny, though. She's like, she remembers every detail of every conversation and every job, and follows up, and, like, I'll call her on my way to work and stuff, or way back. And and then my siblings are great, and they all have kids. So I have 8 little nieces and nephews.
Oh, that's nice.
So whenever I go home with them, I always make, like, little videos and things and some dances. And I'm like the fun, cool aunt from California.
Yeah, the super cool aunt with a super cool job.
Yeah. I mean, my siblings, it's been interesting. They've been, full disclosure, they've been supportive. But also, like, I remember my brother Scotty was like, so what's your 5-year plan? And I was like, I don't know. Get a job, keep getting jobs. I don't know.
Yeah.
This was a while ago. So it was hard for them to they obviously kind of wanted me to come back to Texas and would ask really hard questions like, well, how are you going to have a family? You know, are you meeting the right people? Are you meeting guys that you could be with during your job? You know, like all these things that you're like, I don't know. It's not just supposed to work out the way it's supposed to work out. And they were worried about me financially for a long time because you have to sacrifice a lot to start building a career. You know, I did a bunch of jobs for free or low paying ones just to build a choreography reel.
Yeah.
And then once I started getting work, I wasn't getting it enough where I couldn't have a side job, you know, and then eventually you get let go from your side job because you choose your career on a day-to-day basis. You know, if something were to conflict, you would choose the career opportunity over the side job.
Right.
So they're very relieved, I guess you could say, and of course very happy, but they're kind of like, you stuck to it. We all told you to move home, but you stuck to it.
I know. And believe me, I know what that's like to have a family that is, you know, I was living in New York pursuing musical theater, and my family was constantly worried about me and worried about my finances. And but I think they knew deep down, and it sounds like your family did as well, that like this was your passion and there was no way that you could just walk away from it, especially after all the time and effort and blood, sweat and tears you had put into it.
Right.
Yeah. I totally get
that. It seems cliche to say, like, later when you hear people say they sacrificed a lot. But, you know, you do look back at it and you do sacrifice a lot. And most of it is, like, a stable, normal existence, whatever that means.
Yeah, whatever that means. I'm still looking for that.
It's way more fun at the end. It's way more fun.
Absolutely. Now, so when you moved to Los Angeles, you got involved working with the Upright Citizens Brigade, which is an improv group. So how did you get involved with them?
So they actually were going around, speaking of side jobs, I was working at this like candle shop called and clothing shop called Native. And they had just bought the theater on Bronson and Franklin. So they were going around meeting the neighbors, and my mom was in town. And I literally met them then and got to know Matt Walsh, and he was like, you're really funny, I should get you an internship. So they are an improv group, but they opened up a theater. So
okay.
UCB is a theater. They have one on Franklin here in LA. They started in New York and then another on Sunset, but I was an intern. And so, which meant that you would, you know, work the desk and stuff or work the theater for free. In exchange for classes, which was a great way to get involved in the community. So
yeah.
I got involved and then did this stage musical that Matt Besser wrote called Freak Dance, which was like an 80s movie musical spoof.
Yes.
But all original music. And we did it on stage every Friday for like 3 years on and off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they made that into a movie, which we all got to be in, which was nutty because we all thought we'd be replaced by like Jack Black or, you know, Emma Stone. I mean, that wasn't Emma Stone at the time, but.
Right.
But yeah, and I had to storyboard how I envisioned all the dances. So it was a big opportunity and a lot of work. But the most fulfilling to do it all together, especially since we had lived the show together for so long.
Yeah. Well, before you came into working with UCB as an intern and taking classes and then being part of the productions, were dance and choreography a big part of what they did? Or were you kind of at the forefront of bringing that to their productions?
Right. No, there wasn't really anyone that like also studied improv and danced and choreographed as well as I did. So, I mean, there are more people now, but they were all brand new. You know, this was literally as the theater opened.
Yeah.
So it was cool. There's like, you know, one of my friends, Robin Von Swank's a really great photographer, and she got to know everybody kind of at the start. There's like a bunch of people that started with UCB that have a very specific niche or voice, and it's a really supportive community. So even like Jessica Rona, who's this amazing dog groomer, she started off like grooming everyone's dogs and then went on to like do Katy Perry's, you know, because
oh, that's so
funny.
Many
followers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that community is really great. If you have a passion for something and you're good at something and people recognize it and recommend you for things. So that was an awesome opportunity.
Yeah.
And has really laid the way for me.
And is that where you met Rachel Bloom?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was at UCB first or at the Apple Sisters show. I got to know through UCB, though, this trio called the Apple Sisters that are really great. And Rachel and I danced and were chorus girls in their shows. They're really funny. They came from New York because Rachel did UCB New York. And there's a whole influx of those people that like come to L.A.
Yeah.
And I met. And then she was a part of my Quick and Funny Musicals company, which I still do at UCB.
Yes.
So now I got to know her better. Mm-hmm.
So when you met Rachel, did you guys immediately click? Were you guys kind of like in tandem with your creativity and what you saw for dances and productions?
What do you mean? Like when she was a part of the company, there was 10 people. So, and it wasn't like she wasn't directing them.
Right.
She would write them sometimes. But yeah, I think because of having that background of Quick and Funny together and UCB in general, that made it for when I had choreographed a video for her called the Die When I'm Young that she did for Funny or Die. And so, yeah, we were totally in sync, but you know, she, I don't know. That's a hard question. It wasn't at the capacity that it is now, right?
Right.
Working with 10 people, it's a different kind of creative flow. And I already kind of had like a writing partner, Jackie Johnson, and people already kind of have, she's worked with Jack Doljilgin, who's the music, one of the music writers, him and then Adam Schlesinger and Rachel are the three that write the music. So her and Jack are kind of a duo. And her husband's also a writer. So you kind of have like partnerships already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then collaborations change. So it wasn't really until Crazy X that we really got to know each other really well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how specifically did you come on board with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Well, they had actually hired, the pilot had happened a year before the show and was for Showtime. And Michael Rooney choreographed the pilot and Mark Webb directed. And they worked together on 500 Days of Summer and lots of other projects.
Okay.
And so Mark Webb is still one of our executive producers, but not as closely. I mean, he is closely involved, but it's more Aline and Rachel that, you know, well, Aline's the showrunner. But they had hired Charles Papert, who's the VP that did all of Key and Peele. And when he was talking about musicals and things, he referenced me a lot because every time they did anything music related, I choreographed it.
Right. And their stuff, oh my gosh, I miss their show so much.
Like, oh, I know, they're so great. I know. After her meeting, he was like, expect a phone call. I talked about you for some reason a ton in my meeting. I was like, thanks, Charles.
Thanks.
So I went in to meet Rachel and Aline and Sarah Kaplan, who's our producer. And then, you know, got the opportunity. And it was jazz beyond belief.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, at that point, had the show already been picked up by the CW or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what were those early days of meetings like for, you know, kind of creating the vibe of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? Because it has a very specific vibe. And I feel like, you know, people, whether they're in the musical theater or not, can all really, really enjoy it. So what were those early meetings like? How did you really come up with the concept for the show, for the musical numbers?
Well, in the beginning, we were at the meetings and were a bunch of different things. So you'd have like a concept meeting once I was hired, general production meeting. And that was kind of my first time being a part of all those as like a proper department head.
Yeah.
And then I would have the part where I choreograph in the studio on my own and then pitch, you know, what the movement looks like. And so I remember the first one was I'm So Good at Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles kind of had mentioned that, like, you know, they were coming from the Showtime budget. So like we would shoot for the moon, you know,
yeah,
and do these, whatever you could imagine. And I was pitching all these crazy things. Like, what if she was standing on a 100 yoga blocks? Because one of the lyrics says, I do things with my body no one should be able to do. And
right,
we're trying to think of things that were more like supernatural. And, and like, I was like, we could Jimmy rig it, right? With her being on a stand. And then, so I pitched this like really grand, big thing. And then they, you know, whittled it down to what we could afford.
Yeah.
So eventually you just find the flow. And the flow kind of came from Rachel, Jack, and Adam, of course, the song and the lyrics, and then that kind of indicates everything. And then Rachel ends up really spearheading sort of the music video element.
Okay.
She had lived in, you know, music video land for such a long time, making things on the low budget, that she would write the treatments more or less for the music videos. And then, you know, I kind of let the, And then the director and I will talk about it. It honestly just depends per episode because it's a different director each time.
Right.
But I don't know if there was like a specific decision of like, this is how we do this.
Right.
But it became a flow after trial and error and learning what worked and was important and making sure, you know, anything from like Rachel's other videos, her and Jack would always shoot like if there was joke specific objects, if that makes sense.
Joke specific objects.
Stranger.
Okay.
Like, your balls smell weird. Your balls smell so much worse than my beard. And so he would show balls, not like a guy's balls, but playing with tennis balls or whatever.
Right.
So they kind of did an adage where like they would show, if you look at her older videos, some places can afford it. But, or, you know, by like having no money, you have all the money in the world, kind of do whatever you want.
Right.
Like if I had my iPhone, I could shoot everything and it would be, but to hire a crew to shoot what I could do on my iPhone with all the locations, it would be way too expensive.
Right.
So we have to kind of limit, I mean, it sounds really not glorious, but like that's a lot of what choreographing is for TV is what can you afford? What limitations do you have? I don't get to create whatever I want and like say we're doing this because it has to be approved budget wise. So I kind of have to wait to be told how many dancers I can hire, what the locations are, what the worlds are.
Right. Well,
then I get to play.
I mean, in watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the numbers are absolutely stunning and totally look like, you know, high budget, high production quality music videos. I mean, I know some of them are very music video vibes. Some of them are more kind of musical theatery vibes. But you would never know. I don't know if there was ever like a budget that was lower than you wanted, but you would never know from watching.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my gosh. Everything looks incredible. And the production quality is out of this world. And sometimes you guys have, it looks like, hundreds of dancers in one musical number.
Well, the only one that had 100 was the opening with the pilot.
Okay, with the pretzel.
But that was because of that Showtime money.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. It looks like there's hundreds in, you know, in other production numbers. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. And Gabrielle Ruiz, who I know plays Josh's girlfriend on the show, she's amazing. And I know her back from the New York musical theater scene. We used to have, you know, many mutual friends. And so when I started watching the show and I saw her name in the credits one day, I was like, oh my God, I know that girl. So that was really cool. But everyone on the show is so incredible. And so when you're rehearsing numbers, I mean, each production number looked extremely involved and, you know, very much planned and organized. How much time do you have to choreograph and set these numbers on the cast before shooting?
Well, it depends. As the season goes on, we have less and less time. Sometimes the song is still being worked at, but typically I also don't get the dancers that much. Sometimes I'll have them for the day of, but mostly I have them for like one rehearsal day before.
Oh, wow.
So, and because there are so many different music videos, I'll be like sometimes shooting one. I can't rehearse the other one until, you know, so it's tricky. I would say, you know, a day or two. Nothing crazy. I mean, because of the meetings and the castings and the, you know, figuring out who's doing it and,
Wow.
Pretty fast.
That's amazing. You would never guess that. It looks like each number has been rehearsed for weeks and weeks. And obviously that's just
And with Rachel, a lot of times it's like 10 minutes at a time.
That is crazy. Oh my gosh.
I've never had 8 hours.
Wow.
The most I've had with her is like 3 hours.
Wow.
That might have been one for a settle for me.
Dang. Well, I was going to ask you, do you have any personal favorite numbers from any of the episodes so far?
I think Josh's angry dance is really amazing. he is like this 80s flash dance.
Yes, I love that one.
Where he freaks out. I really love the theme song. It was really fun to do like a showgirl opening. And let's see, what else? I love Tap That Ass. Cause it's like Donald O'Connor, Gene Kelly, but they're tapping on a giant butt. Like what? Funny.
Well, like I said, I can't wait to see the future of this show and everything that it's going to do because I think it's making huge waves in television and in musical theater. And so as we come to the end of our conversation, Catherine, you know, what do you have coming up. I know that Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was just renewed for a third season, which is totally awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But other than that, are you working on anything else, or are there any secrets you can tell us?
Yeah, there's this really great show called Teachers on TV Land. It's six women called the Katie Dids. They're all versions of Katie and Caitlin and Catherine. And they play these like defunct, awesome teachers. and I got to choreograph a few episodes for them, and one coming up in a few weeks is Lunch the Musical.
Lunch
the
Musical.
So I got to do like nine different episodes. Yeah, they're pretty great.
Oh, that's so awesome. And then you said you go back into Crazy Ex like
in
midway
July,
through this year.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to work on, I've been working on and will continue to this other show on Comedy Central called Another Period.
Mm-hmm.
Really funny. Ricky Van Home and the Sasha Leggero show. I'm still doing my UCB shows once a month. We have a show on the fourth Tuesday of every month at UCB Sunset, Quick and Funny Musicals.
Oh, awesome. I would love to come see one of those sometime.
Yeah, we have one coming up on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
Well, I mean, you're kind of far away.
I am. I don't think I can make it on Tuesday, but next time I'm there. Well, Catherine, this has been literally so much fun to get to talk to you. And again, I know you're crazy busy, so thank you so, so much for giving us some time today.
Most a pleasure.
And that's a wrap.
Want more of your favorite dance podcast? Then subscribe to The Bartender now on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play. New episodes premiere every Sunday on thebartender.tv and release on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play every Tuesday. The Bartender is produced by Dance Network. So check out dancenetwork.tv to stream amazing dance content. Thanks for listening. Happy dancing and happy drinking.